is two parts. The title of this message is Your Better is Waiting on You.
Amen.
Your better is waiting on you. The second part of this is shake what your mama gave you. Look to them and say, shake what your mama gave you. Shake what your mama gave you. Now don't look at me like you just so holy, because before you were in church, you were in the club. Before you came into the kingdom, you were in the world. Before you even came to know the knowledge of God, you knew the knowledge of self. Shake what your mama gave you, because in all reality, God gave you something that He wanted you to use to get you to your better. He gave you something to use to get you to your increase. He gave to you what is going to bring a breakthrough in your life. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
I want to begin reading. It says, let us therefore fear. I say, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Father, I thank You for the reading of Your word. I thank You that it is true. I thank You that it is the very substance that continues, Father God, to grow within us, Lord. Now let our faith, O God, begin to cultivate the very word, and let our faith begin to be enlightened and strengthened, and Father, to grow because of Your word. Lord, I thank You for it now. Now we serve notice every distracted spirit, every foul and unclean spirit. You're not welcome in this place. You are bound now from every work and the efficacy of Your works in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. What I want you to draw your attention to is that here it says in verse 1 from Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear. Now when I began to do a study in Hebrews, I had an understanding, first of all, is that this is a book, a letter that is written to Hebrews, and it's written to, in a format, to a people that are believers. And because it is written to a format of believers, it's speaking to them, you left there, therefore you fear that you've not enter into His rest. And then he goes on to say that why we don't enter into His rest is because we no longer believe.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That's true. Come on.
This is a letter written to the church. Now, many would begin to go towards an error and say that this is the Apostle Paul, the volume of letters. And this, many scholars have said that it couldn't be Paul because Paul writes differently. That they believe this to be Apollos that is writing to the church. And this letter is sent to them and is specifically speaking to them concerning this nature. That you believe because you've heard, but then you have unbelief because faith is not mixed in with the word that you've heard, and now you're in disbelief, and you haven't entered into rest. Are you hearing me? One of the most important things you have to understand is this is not written in a place where there was many gods, but it wasn't an area of polytheism, many gods. This was predominantly those that the church was birthed out of, and they believed in Jehovah God. They had the Old Testament writings, they believed. Their foundation was set upon Moses, and they understood the Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible. They understood this, so they had an understanding of who God is. They weren't too jive with it being Jesus coming forth. Do you understand? So, but they were God-fearing. They had an understanding. So, the author is writing to the church and telling them, fear this thing. Now, why would you speak in this manner other than you knew the former thing?
Wow. Okay.
Because what he spoke to Moses and Joshua about was fear not. And how can the writer write that concerning what they're about to experience? But now, and this is in the Old Testament, when God is speaking, I'm your God, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to fight the battles for you, and I'm going to speak to everything that I've created to get you out of your slave mentality. Okay? Fear not, fear not, fear not. But now as you read here in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, where the letter is written to a church of believers, and tell them this is what you must fear, that you don't enter into his rest. Isn't it something that you begin to see the difference in? You can believe God then when God is working on your behalf. But when you don't see God working, you tend not to enter into his rest and the peace, knowing that he's already done it for you before.
Wow.
And he will do it again. Are you seeing it? So he's writing to a group of believers and say, this is the thing that you should fear. And you know, to me it seems like it was my mama writing the letter to the church. But my mama has that finger that you know, you got mamas that when they point the finger at you, it's like 10 feet long. My dad said, amen. And it seems like when someone is speaking to you that is rebuking you, it seems like everything is magnified. And you don't want to receive it because it's true. But then I like how he's writing, because when I was reading it, I said, man, this sounds like this guy don't know what he's talking about. He says in verse 4, it says, for he spoke in a certain place. In other words, he's saying somewhere in the letters that we have about Moses, basically what he's saying, on the seventh day, God said this, and God did rest on the seventh day from God's word. This is what he's saying, right? So when I begin to read this, they had the understanding who Jehovah God was to Moses and the Israelites when they needed a God to deliver them. See, we go to God when we're in trouble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're saying yes, because yes. If you were in church and if you were about to lie, the Lord will get you. But when things are going good, my knee hurts, my back hurts, I think I'm going to church today and be a little elderly. On the flip side, you know, we got that barbecue today. Pastor had to move services to a Saturday. Right in the middle, 6:30. I get around the barbecue pit, you know, and it gets a little hot. It's a little hot outside. I got to reach into the ice chest and get me an ice. I mean, I got to get my bottle of water. But here's the thing. We'll make excuses why not to go. Because everything's all right. But let something come and test you. Let something kind of creep into that personal space. Let something kind of mess with you a little bit. Oh, Lord, I need you. It's called the prayer warrior. Lord, it's called Sister Bible and she's going to pray. Lord, let's get the innocence to pray for this day. What if you were to sow your time in the church? When you didn't want to go, you got up anyhow.
Yeah.
And you went anyhow.
Come on.
Because when you're obedient to the Spirit, you won't miss what God has for you.
Yeah.
Because if you want to do what you want to do, you'll miss what God wanted for you to do. Preaching to myself. There's times, like, I was like, I ain't going to church, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sleep in. True. The AC happened to work real good tonight. You got the covers up to here. Ooh, it's cold. Oh, Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Spirit says, you're going to miss it. I'm going to. and the word just hits you right here. Bam! Oh! And like, wait a minute, how'd you know it was real? Like you tell me, God, how'd you know? God knows what you need when you need it. But the devil knows when you need it also. And what happens is we want to get so comfortable in doing what we want to do. Go where we want to go. Yeah. Where we want to go is where we want to go. What we want to do is where, well, we do anyhow. So he writes a letter. How many used to write love letters to you, honey? Love letters. You still writing? You still writing? Don't be lying, you're in church. Here's the letter that is written to the church.
Yes.
So I gotta tell you something. You may not like this, but here's the thing. Here's the reason why you're not getting through. So you gotta hear this thing. You have got to understand with faith and believe in faith, and you have to mix this word with faith and it will produce for you. But because you haven't, let me remind you what God said. Have you ever had those kind of conversations? You know the ones you get over a text? We need to talk.
Oh God.
And you know, you may be down the street, and it'll take you 3 hours to get home. You don't want to talk. So this is for somebody. Not in here because y'all are saying, someone will bring down. But when God wants to speak to his bride, he wants to speak to his beloved, he sends a word.
Yes.
He sends a word. Now, I want to say something, and I know we got a couple of children in the room with me. If you get it in school, they tell you it's going away, so you signed a waiver when you said yes to Jesus. This is your waiver. We're the bride. We're the bride. We're the church. Jesus is the husband. Okay? What Jesus speaks, the word of God, it reproduces.
Yes, right.
It is. Oh, you hear this, my grandmother, I can tell you this. It is the sperm that goes out in the atmosphere. Because we are the bride, we have a responsibility to have the egg received. The word can go forth. God ain't missing. Your faith is the egg.
Yes. Yes.
And if your faith isn't attached to the word, it's not God's fault that it didn't reproduce. Did you hear that? Because some of them are looking at me, why you say sperm in church? We're out of here. But there's a scripture called Owenism. The man went into the tent and released. It's a spirit. What is that spirit saying? You don't want to reproduce. Do you understand? And what this spirit is trying to do is not get the people of God to receive with faith the word that has gone forward to inseminate and to impregnate the church to reproduce after its kind and to make more just like what the word had said. And he said it in the very beginning when he created the foundations of the earth. See, he said in the very beginning to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. But what happens is when the word goes forth, we need to be the church that is the faith that is receiving this word so that it can take root, it can die with kids and germinate it, and it can produce it out and produce its fruit. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what God is saying? Is that I have released the word, but it's not God's fault that it hasn't happened. Maybe your faith.
Yes, come on.
has it wrapped itself around it. And the only way you're going to know that you've got a true word from God is when it goes the other way. You're going to get tested on every word you hear. Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan, comes out of the Jordan, led into the wilderness. Who shows up? Satan himself. And what happened? What was declared when Jesus came up out of the water? This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit of God rested on him. The only place in Scripture where the Godhead and all three were present. Present. Then Satan comes to test the identity. And what's this? What God spoke is what came and got challenged. Are you seeing that? You want to know if you got a real word from the Lord? You're going to get challenged. That's how you know. So the church in Hebrews is being written to is, yes, I know you're in church. Yes, I know you carry your Bible. Yes, I know you get on the prayer line. Yes, I know you prayed for people before, but
come on.
You haven't entered into the rest yourself. Because it happens for everybody else but you. Have you been there before?
Yes.
Some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, I'm not right now. Sure, you get to the good part of it. None of this is making me happy. You know how we get this when things ain't going right. We just get to the point like, this ain't a word for me. No, this is not a word. And you start calling it temper tantrums. Pastor, I already know this. Oh, you know it. You've heard it. But you haven't lived it.
That's right.
You haven't been tested in it. And because you haven't been tested in it, you feel that it's not for you. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, it's coming. You can bank on it. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, yeah. Watch this, because this is what it says. It says right here in verse 2. For unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. This is right. We heard the word. You heard it too. But the difference is, it profited us, but it didn't profit you. Hello, somebody, because I know you've been in church looking at people that have been blessed and prosperous, and you're looking at people in the world that are making it, and they're making money, they're doing good, right? And they got it, and you don't. And you look at them like, I heard the word too. And nothing happened. We get to that point, we begin to judge everybody's circumstance, and we think because we want to be like God, and my sister so and so supposed to be that. They haven't really been in church all the time, so maybe this is why you're going through what you're going through. No. Here's the thing. You don't know my story.
That's right.
You don't know my intimate time with the Lord.
Yes.
You don't know what God is doing in me and through me. You're only judging my circumstance. You're only judging me in my wilderness experience. But there is something from a long way back that God put in my hand that I began to shake what my daddy gave me. I began to shake what was in my hand. I began to shake, rattle, and roll into what my future had in store for me. I had to shake some stuff off of me. I had to roll some things inside of me. I had to roll the stone away that kept me from my destiny. There were people that were attached to me that didn't want me to go forward. I had to shake them off. Because there's some people that get into your life only to stop you from getting into your life. Lord Jesus. See, it profited the ones that heard and have faith to receive. If it profited them, what does profit mean? Y'all know what a profit now, not profit with the PA, it's profit with the FIT.
Yes.
You know, profit where you go and make money and you have an increase.
Yes.
Profit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
When you profit, there's excess.
Yes.
See, I heard the word and my faith attached to it. It profited me. What happened was there was an excess.
Amen.
That came into my life. There was an excess that came into my life. There was a surplus because of this word and my faith attached to it.
Amen.
It produced, and it produced after its kind.
Amen.
But it didn't profit them because of the lack of faith.
Yes.
But they're in the church. He's addressing the church. I've been asking God, why is it that it feels like many people have fallen away? And yeah, there's churches still all across America, all across America. Great, amen. But there's also been quite a few that have left the church. I get it. It's hard. It's not an easy walk. We're going to fall short of the glory of God. We're going to mess up. You know, we're going to look at someone sideways. They're going to look at us sideways. And it's on and popping now. But we get tested on every side. But the reality is, it's what God is doing in you to show you what's still there.
Amen.
So
amen.
We get good at that.
Come on.
And then we get mad because of everybody else but ourselves.
Amen.
Well, I'm in this situation because Brother Sondra, you know, he's just talking to everybody else. And, you know, he gives me reason to be jealous. No, baby, jealousy is inside of you already.
Come on. That's right.
He's not giving you reason. You're looking for reason.
Come on.
This is not on my note. This is free for y'all. If you don't trust that jumper right now,
come on.
It's because it's inside of you. You have an issue of trust. Someone hurt you along the way. So you've been to 3 marriages already. Oh, you on there. 3 marriages already. Mm-hmm. 2 kids, 3 marriages, and you still have an issue of trust.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who spoke, but I know for a fact. Because of what happened to us in relationships has hurt us and wounded us. We can't trust anyone.
That's right.
So we start looking for fault.
Yeah, come on.
We start looking for signs.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Why'd you get new cologne?
Why'd you get new slacks and shirts? Maybe that's something. I know you got something. But they didn't see my holes in my shirt and my socks, and I didn't put on a little weight because I had to get some bigger clothes. Cologne? Isn't that cologne? That's Axe. I just put on Axe. You just think it's something new. I was trying to make myself feel better about how I'm in my situation right now. But I know what you're looking at right now. All of this. All of this.
Is yours.
If you don't like all of this.
There's a problem with
See, the problem is we have issues within that we don't know how to deal with.
Yes.
And we put it on everybody else.
Yes.
And then what happens is we start nitpicking at the one that God gave you.
Come on.
Then we start nitpicking at people in our life just to discredit them as opposed to dealing with the issue
within. Come on, preach it.
Okay.
That's good.
Y'all are saying to me, I see the halos. They're a little crooked, but I see them. Now, let me polish you. But what happens, we bring issues of the past and we hold on to them.
Yes.
We hold on to them and we don't want to let go.
That's right.
What happens, we'll miss the appointment.
Yes.
We'll miss the appointed time.
Yes.
I'm going to read this to you. Now, it didn't profit them, but it profited us. This is what the gospel is writing here. But then I want you to see this where it says this. Verse 4. And it says, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is that saying? Is that everything was already done in the beginning of time.
Yes.
Everything was completed. Everything was done. Proof. I know you want proof. Tell me that's true. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Watch. Let me read this for you first, and then I'm going to go back to this. We'll go ahead. Philippians 3:13. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Philippians 3:13 says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Here's the thing.
then we have to let go of what hurts.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to let go of the wounds that have come.
Yeah.
We have to let go of the one that hurt us and it has caused you to not have trust. Because what happens if you don't have trust, you begin to distrust His Word. His Word has proven the very test of time. Over and over and over. You'll get to the point where mama keeps telling you, daddy keeps telling you, grandma keeps telling you, Aunt Brookie and them keep telling you, you've got to trust God, baby. And you get to that point like, you know what, I've been trusting God, I've been trusting God, and I ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't really trusted, you've just been waiting. There's a difference in trusting and waiting. You've been waiting on something to happen, but you haven't actively begun to believe the Word and put it to use. You've only been waiting. But if you're trusting, you're actively pursuing Him in the Word and being obedient to His command. You may not see an increase yet, but if God is saying, if you don't have enough, go and sow your time. Go and give an ear to someone that is in need. Go and be a part of someone that you can help.
Amen. Amen.
Because you're actively pursuing and waiting on the Lord. Don't just sit there idle and do nothing.
That's right.
The apostle saying, brothers and sisters, it's not that I've attained yet. Let you know I'm a mess. That's what he's saying. I haven't been made perfect, but I'm letting go of what I used to think of myself. Amen. And I like how it says here, but I'm straining towards my better.
Yes. Yes,
straining. My better is waiting for me. Look to your name and say, my better is waiting for me. Don't look back and become bitter like Lot's wife. And become that pillar of salt. Just because someone wounded you. The Word is still true. It's true.
Amen.
Now, here's what I want you to understand. Your better is ahead of you. You have to reach for it. Your better version of you is still ahead of you. Now, I know from time to time, we look back, back in the day, you know, I used to have hair. I used to be skinny. A little tough. I used to be able to run and jog and used to. You know how many of you used to cook? I used to go run down the track without a mom. I used to cook in the year and play basketball with the young. I used to cook, right? But what happened is we look back and think that's the best us. That's the best version of you. No. You may have been fit. And you lost your way along the Milky Ways and Oreos. But that doesn't mean that your best is still not ahead of you. The true you is still ahead of you.
Amen.
How God intended you to be.
Amen.
The outside is just a shell. But the outside looks just like God.
Wow.
God said, I made you in my image. Okay, for all you theologians, that's spirit. Yeah, but He put flesh to look like Him. Even with your olive color skin. Your mocha color skin. Yeah. Yeah, my chocolate color skin. Oh, yeah, that vanilla skin. That reddish freckles. That curly hair. The long, straight black hair. That bald head of yours. Yeah. That round, thick self of you. Yeah, that skinny, but skinny self of you. All of who you are in God is how He created you. Quit knocking the Creator and His creation about yourself. You have got to rejoice in who you are. Quit making all kinds of excuses right before when God has given you power to do well. Quit looking and making excuses why you can't do what God has already given you the power for you to do. You've got to understand God made you in His image.
Yes.
When I go to Africa, I don't know how to speak Swahili. But that means my God speaks to me in English and He speaks to them in Swahili. He knows how to speak to His creation and how to get their attention so that they can be obedient to what He says.
Amen.
Don't miss this. Because in the very beginning, when He created the heavens and the earth, He created everything before He placed us.
That's right.
Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Your better is always prepared for you and it's waiting on you.
Amen. Amen.
I created the heavens and the earth. I hung the firmament.
Yes.
I separated the waters.
Yes.
I put a garden and I put trees that are bearing fruit. I put the birds in the air and the fish in the sea. Mm-hmm. And then I said, now let's make man an argument. See, the place is already prepared for you.
Amen.
Your better is already prepared for you.
Amen.
Then He places you in His creation with all the resources and everything that you need. It's already there waiting for you.
Amen.
All you've got to do is be obedient to what He says. And do not eat of this fruit and you would be okay. But He makes a place for you. And it's a better place for you. Before you even
get
there. Jesus is going to go to a place to prepare a room for you. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions.
Amen.
He's going to a place to make it for you, for a better place for you.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Have a
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
He makes everything that He has for your betterment.
Amen.
All it is just waiting on you.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. You believe? You sure you believe?
Yes.
Are you sure you believe?
Yes.
Good. Turn to Luke 13. The Gospel of Luke chapter 13. Verses 6 through 9. I'm going to read this out of the English Standard Version. I'm going to read it all in its entirety. And He told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put manure on it." Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. And you read this as a parable that Jesus is speaking to His disciples and to those that have followed Him to listen about this parable. Why is this parable important? Because we are getting into church, we're going to church, we're doing anything, we're carrying our Bible, we're looking like we're Christians, we're walking like Christians, talking like Christians, acting like Christians, we're doing all those things, but we're not getting and we're not producing fruit.
Yes. Wow. Come on.
What are you doing just taking up space in the church?
Right.
If you're not reaching out and giving some lessons, and what you're receiving, giving to them. So what does the Bible say?
Whoa!
Let me dig around it. What's it saying? Let me get to its roots. Let me get to the roots and find out what the problem is. Maybe they got things going too easy for them. So let me put some dung. Let me put some poop around it. Let me put something that's very stinky, nasty, and put it around it, but it's good for their roots.
Yeah.
You wonder why you go through the mess that you go through? God's exposing your roots. He's exposing your roots. Oh, it's not easy. We don't like it. Many times we get around some people that we don't want to be around. God is saying, I'm going to keep bringing them to you until you learn how to love them.
Amen.
Until you learn how to love them. I know you got attitude, and I'm going to bring them anyhow.
Yep.
I know you don't like people that act this way, praise this way, worship this way, and begin to praise. I know you like it, but I'm going to bring them around you.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to expose your roots.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that issue right there. Yeah, you only want to be around people just like you. Yeah, you only want to be around people that only act like you, talk like you, and walk like you. I'm going to put some people in your life that are going to get you to a better place than where you're at. I'm going to bring some people of influence into your life to make you see what you can become. I'm going to give something so that you have vision so that you will continue to pursue after it and begin to change your walk, change your talk, and change your attitude because it needs to be adjusted to where I'm taking you.
Amen.
I've got to put some people around you that would test the roots.
Come on.
And if you still don't bear fruit, you'll be cut off. And they're quiet over here. Phew, tonight, everybody. You know Jesus? Let me tell you about Jesus. Evangelism, real quick, right? But here's the thing, he's talking about, he's like, you've got to understand the root system.
Yeah.
What, how does the root system work? The root system is you got to be planted.
Yeah.
And when you're planted, you can bear fruit. And when you bear fruit, it produces after the seed that was deposited in you.
Amen. Good.
Fruit will be displayed so that the master can take of that fruit and give to others that are in need. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Dude, I get it. Well, that's good. I got this, Pastor. We good. I'm knocking on every door tonight. I ain't being cut out. Don't be lying. You're going to go get your bean and cheese tacos and your chips and your hot sauce. You're going to have your late night meal at Jim's. You know, you're going to be good. You're going to get your little soup and your sandwich. You're going to talk a little bit about Jesus. But you're going to reflect back on everything that was spoken to you tonight. Don't let a letter be sent to you that tells you you have failed to enter into His rest. Because your faith has been tested.
Yes.
You know what it's time for? It's time for us to quit talking about it, and it's time for us to be about it.
That's right.
It's time for the church to quit talking like we got power, but not demonstrating.
Come on.
It's time for the church to take its rightful position and begin to understand that we have the authority to speak to things and cause change in people's lives. How you do that is by displaying the very love of Christ as He did unto them on the way to Samaria. What did He do? He talked to every single individual along the way. And what happened was, He didn't even send out a text, an Instagram, Facebook Live. He just said the truth, and they followed Him.
Amen.
See, the truth, His compassion, and His grace, and His love will draw all men unto Him. Do you remember all those kind of preachers we used to hear? That it was about hell and fire and brimstone. And if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. Well, I don't want to go to church no more. But the Bible says that it's the grace of God and the love of God and the very compassion of God that draws all men to Him and brings them into repentance. It is the goodness of God. The goodness of God.
Amen.
So what you go through is so that the goodness is inside of you can come forward.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
The goodness, not the bitterness.
Amen.
And what happens is we get so caught up in things that have hurt us, wounded us, that we don't let it go.
Yes.
The proof is in Exodus when God speaks to Moses and tells him,
Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses gave an excuse, did he not?
Yes.
He started stuttering. But you don't read that he stuttered anymore.
That's right.
You don't read that he stuttered anymore.
That's right.
Only when he gave an excuse to God. We make excuses on why we can't. But God knew before the foundations of his earth who he chose to do his work. Look to your neighbor and say, you're chosen.
You're chosen.
For a great work. Come on, look to your other neighbor. You're chosen. For a great work. I say it like you mean it, though. Say it like you mean it.
You're chosen.
That's it. You are chosen for a great work. Watch this, watch this. Moses was chosen to get the people of Israel out of Egypt.
Yes.
They were in bondage for 400 years. You think that's a long time?
Yes.
That's a long time not hearing from God, seeing God move, do anything.
Yes.
God said, okay, I'm going to raise up this one right here. He's a murderer.
Yeah.
God, you missed it. You know what I mean? But you know what I did, right? He got on my nerve, and I just... Me? You don't mean me. Really? And then start studying. Oh, I know how you are. You're codependent. You can go get Aaron. And together you can go. And when I read that, I was like, that's already the 2x2.
Yeah.
To go do the work. And then I began to understand something. And it's not written. So if you're going to try to find it in your Bible, it's not written. It's not. But in my Bible, it is. You know, I wrote a Bible. I wrote a Bible so that I could have an understanding of the Bible because I need to get some more reading. And in my Bible, when Moses was born and there was a decree to kill all the young males, Mama came out and said, ain't no one touching this child. This child is going to be president one day. This child is going to be a deliverer one day. This child is going to make it. It's going to be big. They're going to talk about him.
Amen.
At the end of time.
Thank you.
Say, ain't no one going to touch my child. Because this child, it's got purpose.
Amen.
This child,
amen,
has a destiny.
Amen.
This child,
amen,
has a gift and a call on his life, her life. This child has purpose to bring people out of the misery.
Amen.
This child is called and destined for greatness.
Amen.
See, I believe that she begins to just speak into the very ark that she placed him in before he could even understand. And I believe that she began to declare and prophesy over Moses as he was going down the Nile. And began to watch him from afar and then get closer and closer and say, you know what? Sister, go and follow him all the way through. God has made a way and a plan for you into a better place. Because she sent Moses to be saved.
Yes.
Mama and sister were homeless because of what was going on. Mrs. But because the seed was sent,
yes,
into the world system, the world received it and brought Mama and the daughter in to care for that seed.
Amen.
Because God is always watching out for what he's prepared for your betterment and for the betterment of his purpose in his plan. He is watching it to be performed. That his word will not return void unto him. He's watching it. He's declaring it. And he's making sure that there's someone that is going to cultivate this word. And he said, not my baby, not my child, not going to die. He's going to do good. She's going to do great things for the Lord. And I want the people out of boxing. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on, give
the word we speak, it is the seed that we impregnate and disseminate and we begin to produce after its kind. Never curse a child. Never curse. Woo! Bless, bless, and bless. Speak, even though that little child is in there, you cry the son. You may be just right now, but that's who you really are. You may be here right now, but I know you're wrong. You may be caught up in this, but I know you're coming out of this. You may be in all kinds of misery, but you're coming into a better place. You may be caught up in a bondage, but I'm speaking that you're going to be losing this set free. You're coming out of drugs. You're coming out of alcohol. You're coming out of prostitution. You're coming out. You're going to take some people out, and you're going in to a better place. A better place is waiting for you. Circumstance, but they're not gazing into the future because they don't have anybody to declare to them their future is better than their now. Their future is better than their past. They don't have someone declaring the good news of what God can do for them if they just trust and believe. And if you've got enough faith of the size of a mustard seed, it can move a mountain. It can put you into the sea. Never to be remembered. You got to trust even just a little bit that God is going to come through for you, even at the very last. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14:3-5 says this, and I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh my God. I'm preparing a place for you. You may not understand what you're going through. You may only look at your past, but strain forward to your future. Because there's something greater for you there. Because he loves you. And someone's been praying for you to get there. Someone's been laboring on their knees and praying and believing God for what has been prophesied over your life. You think you messed up, you're not discounted. You've been counted unto him as righteousness. Oh my God! What he said unto Abraham, hey, because of your faith, is accounted unto you as righteousness, even though you messed up. Faith, my God, can be considered righteousness. Hear this, hear this. You may think that you messed up somewhere along the way, and it's a discounted you because your faith in him and his word, it can be accounted unto you as righteousness. What is he saying? Is you just believe that I can bring you up out of that mess.
Amen.
That there's nothing too difficult for God.
Amen.
He can bring you all the way.
Amen.
All the way. Woo.
Hallelujah. Woo.
He has finished the work. It's already done.
Yes, yes.
It's just waiting for you to get there.
Hallelujah.
You got to work. Shake.
what your daddy gave you. Because sometimes our faith is like the sediment. If it's not stirred, it sits. And it's not stirred. Something has to come to stir you, to test you, to get to that root, so that your faith can reduce its root. Amen. God is going to speak to your enemy. He's going to speak to Pharaoh, who is the ruler and the authority that has kept you in bondage. And not only is he going to speak to Pharaoh, he's going to speak to the frogs. Watch this. He's going to speak to the frogs that hide in the dark places. And then he's going to speak to the flies that only eat just the dumb. They're pest. They come around and they bring all kinds of nastiness to you. And he's going to speak to the lice. Watch this. They come to make you look unclean. That adorn your head where your head should be adorned with the crown of glory. He's going to speak to that thing and clear your mind.
Amen. Amen.
He's going to speak to the locust, the thing that comes to devour your increase. He's going to speak to it so that your increase can increase.
Amen.
He's going to speak to it. He's going to speak to the rivers. And he's going to put his blood in it so that you can cross through the waters of adversity. And that the waters will now begin to overtake your enemy from its past.
Yes.
And begin to make what was once clean bitter to your enemy.
Amen.
But make what was once bitter to you sweet.
Amen.
And hear this. What God is doing is showing He's got a better place for you.
Amen.
A better place. Yes, do you believe it?
Yes.
Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Those of you watching my Facebook Live, your better is still ahead of you.
Yes.
The better you is still ahead of you. Your better house is still ahead of you. Your better job is still ahead of you. Your better mate. Instead of the one that has been trying to take you down, keep you down, and speak negative things to you, God said, if you would just trust me and allow my word to penetrate and work in you, you won't settle for things to come into your life that are not of me. Hear this. God is turning your circumstance and getting things and has prepared things for you to enter into your bed. You just got to shake and stir that faith.
Amen.
So shake what your mama gave you. Faith. And faith will reproduce and it will produce fruit in its season.
Amen.
Don't quit, beloved. Continue on. Continue on. The good fight of faith. Because God will also fight battles for you that you won't even have to fight. God bless you, Facebook. God bless you. Those of you standing here in this sanctuary.